Daf is Daf Chaf Aleph. Just again, we'll start at the very top of the Daf. The Gemara says that a king is entitled to half of the loot that the soldiers collect in war. What's the source for this? Says the Gemara, Dichsiv, as it says, Vayimshecho LaHashem, Vayimshecho LaHashem LeNagidu LeTzadok, that they anointed Shlomo to be the king, to God, a ruler, and Tzadok was anointed to be the Kohen Gadol. So Makish Nagid LeTzadok, so there you see in this Pasuk an equation and a linkage between the king and the high priest, Tzadok. Matzadok, just like the high priest, Mechtzalo, Mechtzala Echav, he's entitled to half of the Lechem Apanim, if in fact he is to ask for the Lechem Apanim. He's entitled to half of it. Half of it goes to his brothers. So Af Nagid, so to the ruler, Mechtzalo, Mechtzalechav. He gets half, and half go to the brothers. Tzadok Ufei Minalan, how do we know that that's the rule about a Kohen Gadol, that he's entitled to half? The Tanya, the Brisa says, Rabbi Yomar, the Rabbi explained, the Pasuk says, Vaisal Aaron Levanav. And it shall be for Aaron and for all his sons. So Aaron is half, and his sons are the other half. So therefore, Mechtzala Aaron and Mechtzala Banav, half to Aaron and half to his sons. All right, the Mishnah.
All right, that was the Lechem Apanim, they split it half.
If the Kohen Gadol were to want it. Normally the Kohen Gadol wouldn't ask, but if he were to want, he would get half. Okay, the next Mishnah talks about some more laws of the king. Lo yarba lo nashim ela shmona esrei. He can't have too many women. So how many wives can he have? Up to 18. A king can have up to 18 wives, not more than 18. The Torah says, Lo yarbelo nashim. The Torah also says, Lo yarbelo susim. He's not allowed to have too many horses. Can't have too much silver and gold. So he can't have too many wives. That means not more than 18. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Marbehulo. Rabbi Yehuda says he could have more than 18. Ubilvad, shelo yehu mesiros eslibo. As long as they are not wives that are going to cause him to move his heart away from Hashem. The Torah says he shouldn't have too many wives, lest they cause him to stray from God. So if these are, I don't know, righteous women, they can have 20 of them, because they're not going to move him away from God.
Who makes the determination if the people, does the Sanhedrin have to weigh in on whether?
I don't think so. I think he could make a determination, according to Rabbi Yehuda.
How could he judge himself?
It didn't work with Shlomo, as we say. That's right. All right. That gets into the question that we've seen earlier. What's the definition of bias? According to some poskim, bias is only... Bias is only a financial bias. Love and hate is not a bias necessarily. But maybe yes, maybe it is. Others say it is.
It says here that the Rambam says it includes concubines, and it says that if he has more than 18, that he can be flogged.
Right, because he'd violated a prohibition, violated a law, he deserves lashes, that's right, he could get lashes.
These kings that had the garlic factory.
What's that?
These kings that had the garlic factories were shnoon, mashnoon.
They ate a lot of garlic, must have.
Not nice, Baruch.
The Gemara is going to say that David HaMelech had 400 children.
Baruch.
It's a lot. So again, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Marbu Lo, he can have lots of wives, so long as they do not move his heart astray. Rabbi Shimon says, you know what? Afilu achasu mesiras libo reza lo yisaena. Even if one wife is not so righteous and going to move away his heart, he can't marry her. Point of that he can't have added wives is Afilu ka Avigayil, even righteous wives like Avigayil, who was the wife of David HaMelech, after having been the wife earlier of Navos, also is not allowed to the king if she's number 19. Okay, says the Gemara, the Memra, does this imply Rabbi Yehuda Darish Taima Dekra? Rabbi Shimon lo darish time of the Kra. Rabbi Yehuda interprets the reason of a law, and he incorporates the reason into the halacha. And Rabbi Shimon just says the law stands on its own. Because here Rabbi Yehuda says the law was he shouldn't have too many wives. But why? Why shouldn't he have too many wives? Because they're going to move his heart astray. So that's where Rabbi Yehuda says if the wives are very righteous, he could have too many wives. And Rabbi Shimon says no. Rabbi Shimon says no. Too many wives are too many wives, even if they're like Abigail. So Rabbi Shimon doesn't care about the reason. He just looks at the law. And Rabbi Yehuda cares about the reason. But we know that throughout Shas, it's the exact opposite. We always heard the opposite. Rabbi Shimon is the one who's Doresh Taim Adakra. Rabbi Shimon is the one who interprets the reason of the law, and he incorporates that reason in framing the nature of the law. The Tanya, for example, learned in a Braisa. You know, there's a law that you're not allowed to seize a surety, a guarantee from a widow. You're not allowed to take a mashkon from her if she owes you money. So we went to the Brisa, Almana Benchi Ania Benchi Ashira in Mamashkin Osa, whether she is poor or she is rich, you can't go and grab a guarantee from her. Shenema, that's what the Pasuk says, Lo Sachvol Beged Almana. Do not grab the garment of an Almana for a loan that she owes you. Give Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says that's the Pasuk. You just take it the way it is. However, Rabbi Shimon says, we look at the reason for the Pasuk. And therefore, he says, Ashira Mimashkin Osa. If she's wealthy, you are allowed to take. Because what's the big deal? She's wealthy. Aniya Ein Mimashkin Osa. The Torah is saying you can't take advantage of a poor woman who's a widow. So if she's poor, you can't take a guarantee. And Va'ato Chayiv Lahazirla. And you need to return it to her. You're going to cause her to have a bad name amongst her neighbors. They're going to say, why is this man coming to her house? Maybe there's something going on. I mean, and we explain, my comma, what do you mean? I mean, if you just say you can't take the guarantee, so then what do you mean, but when you take the guarantee, you need to return it? So, achi comma, this is the meaning. The reason why you can't take the guarantee is mitol shatam amashkenat achayv lahagzula. If you would be allowed to take a guarantee from a widow, you'd have to return it to her every night because she needs it. And whatever a person needs gets returned to them, even though it was taken as a guarantee. Now, if you're going to the widow's house every night, you're going to create a bad reputation about her amongst her neighbors. They say, well, here's this man always coming in. Maybe there's an affair going on between this man and this widow. So based on that reason, that's why the Torah said, don't take a guarantee from a widow. But that only applies to a poor widow. A wealthy widow, you don't need to return the guarantee because she doesn't need it. She's wealthy. So then you could take a guarantee from a wealthy widow. So you see Rabbi Shimon takes the reason for a law and he incorporates it into the definition of the law. And therefore, he says, the law actually says you could take a guarantee from a wealthy widow. And Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't care about the reason. I just have what the text said. The text said, don't take a guarantee from a widow. It's even from a wealthy widow. So here it's the opposite. Here, Rabbi Yehuda does take into account the reason. And there, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't. So that's the question. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, lo darish time of the curve. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who ignores the reason. He just says, what does the text say? And Rabbi Shimon, darish time of the curve. Rabbi Shimon is the one who says there's a reason for the law. And that reason frames the contours, the nature, and the boundaries of the law. So the Gemara answers like this. Ba'am Rabbi Yehuda, lo darish time of the curve. Maybe generally, Rabbi Yehuda does not interpret reasons for the law, and that's why in regards to taking a guarantee, he just takes the pasuk. The pasuk says, don't take the garment of the widow. However, shiny hacha, but over here it's different. The mefarish time of the kra. Here the reason is in the text. The Torah says, v'lo yarbelo nashim, he shouldn't have too many wives, v'lo yasur levavot, so that his heart not straight. The Torah explicitly says that the reason of not having too many wives is maybe the wives will make his heart straight. That's Rabbi Yehuda says. If the wives are super righteous, they're not going to make his heart straight, he could have them.
Beisha, we're taking the garment from Beisha.
Yes.
It's an ancient thing. Right. About garment. She right.
I guess she must have another garment. It's like an evening garment if she has her clothes, right? A morning garment. So again, v'shani yachdim mefarish time of the Torah. Here it's different, where the Torah explicitly says the reason. The Torah says, matam lo yar belo nashim. Why should he not have extra wives? Mishum lo yasur levavo, so let his heart not stray. Rabbi Shimon, who's the one who says normally we do interpret the reason, he'll say like this, I'll tell you, all over we interpret the reasons. So why did the Torah have to give the reason here? Let the Torah just say he should not have added wives, too many wives, and let it be silent after that. And I would then explain, why shouldn't he have too many wives? Because extra wives might make his heart straight. So why did the Torah have to actually spell it out? So it's to say the following, even one wife, but if she's not such a good woman and she might make his heart straight, he can't marry her. Elamani mekayim lo yarve. And what's the meaning of the pasuk? He shouldn't have many. Afilu ka Avigayil. He can't even have righteous women like Avigayil.
What does it mean, get your heart straight? What does that mean, Rabbi?
To convince him to worship idols or not be so observant. To move him away from loyalty to Hashem.
Takes him to a different direction. Is that what you're saying?
Like with Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech, his wives worshipped idols. Now, the David describes it as Shlomo worshipping idols. Now, we know that the Farshim say not that Shlomo worshipped idols, he just didn't protest their worship, but they moved him away from complete and total loyalty and dedication and observance. Unfortunately.
So is that...
Yeah. Well, no. The original halacha was that a non-king could marry as many wives as he wanted. It's only a king that could only marry 18. But then we had later changes. Yeah, David, a question.
No, I was just curious. If Shimon ends up, if he's basically saying you can only do 18, isn't that the same as the Tanakhama, essentially?
Right, that's a good question. So there are lots of different explanations. I didn't get into it, but I saw that the Yad Ramah says that maybe there is a distinction in terms of types of women. Like there are women that are bad, women that you don't know, women that are righteous. So, like, you know, three different types of women.
There's no separation. Maybe the Tanakhama allows some.
Maybe separation. The Tanakhama, right, doesn't say that you can't marry a single, you know, woman who might lead you astray. Rabbi Shimon says even a single woman who leads you astray, you can't marry. So
different levels.
So, Rabbi, this Abigail was the first wife of David, or it was one of the...
She was one of the wives of David. She wasn't the first wife.
She wasn't, huh?
But
she was Jewish, Abigail.
She was a prophetess, the Gemara says, in Megillah.
Baruch. Could this one come to Israel? Should we want another one?
No, I don't think so. Another one?
No?
It's
not enough
one. Why wouldn't he then be identified as a Shimon?
Only because he's then arguing with Rabbi Yehuda.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think so. Hani Shmona Esther Minalan. So where do you get to the number of 18 for a king? Maybe you shouldn't have a lot that's not more than 5 or not more than 10. How do you get to 18?
Chai.
Because of the following pasuk.
Yeah, you die faster.
The pasuk says, Vayivaldu David Banim beChevron, and sons were born to David when he was in Chevron. Vayihi b'choro Amnon. His b'chor was Amnon. La Achinoam Yisraelit. Amnon was the child of Achinoam. Achinoam was one wife. Umishneyu, the second child, was Kilav, who was a child of Avigayo, who had been, before David's wife, she had been Eshet Navala Karmali. She had been married to Naval. Vashlishi, the third son, was Avshalom ben Ma'acha. Varvi, the fourth son, was Adoniyah ben Hagit. So far we have four wives. We have Achinoam, we have Abigail, we have Ma'acha, we have Hagit. V'achamishit, the fifth son, was Shvatya ben Avital. That's already the fifth wife, Avital. V'ashishi, and the sixth son, was Yitra'am, who was the child of Egla, Ashes David. So you see six wives of David. Ela yuldu David b'chevron. These were born to David in heaven. V'kamalei Natan Navi, and the prophet Nathan tells him, V'kamalei Navi, imat v'osifa locha kahena v'chena. Just a little bit more, and I will add to you like these and like these. So one second, that means kahena like these, another six shit. V'kahena like these, another shit, another six. Avlu Tam Nisri, so you see a total of 18. Because David had 6 wives. And then Navi says, a little bit more, you're going to have another like these and like these. That means you can have a total of 18. Maskefle Ravina, so Ravina said, why do you read it like that? Ema Kahena, why don't you read it like the Navi saying, I'm going to add to you like these. You have 6. Like these is another 6. That gives you 12. And then Ukahena, and like these, like the full sum, another 12 means 24. You, in fact, have a brice like that. A king shouldn't have more than 24 wives, the brice says. So there is such an opinion. So the Gemara explains, and then the Gemara goes further. Another question. And Leman de Darish, Vav, people who would interpret a letter Vav, so that should get you up to Arba Mushmona Havi. That should be 48, right? Kahena, v'chahena. So once you have 24, v'chahena is a whole equal amount to the whole 24. It should be added vav. It means 24 plus 24 is 48 wives. Tanam Yach, we have such an opinion in Braisa. Lo yad b'lo nashim yosim arba'im u'shmona. He shouldn't have more wives than 48. So Tana didan my timing. So what's the reasoning of our Tana who left it only at 18? Amrav Kahana, Makish Kahina, Basula Kahina Kama, because he feels that there's a comparison of the last like these to the first like these. Makahina Kama Shis, just like the first like these is another 6. Afkahina Basra Shis, so to the last like these is another 6. So Gemara asks, what do you mean 18? Vavoy Michal, but there was Michal, so it should have been 7. Amrav Rav said, Egla is another name for Michal. Lama Nikrashma Egla. Why was she called Egla? Shechaviva loved Kegla. She was as beloved to him as a calf.
Is that a good thing?
It's apparently a very good thing. Very beloved. Rechenu Omer. And so too the verse says, Lule harashtem be'eglasi. Shimshon. Shimshon tells the Philistines, if not for the fact that you plowed with my calf, in other words, if not for the fact that you went to my wife, you would never have known that the source of my strength is my hair. So you see that a wife is called sometimes a calf. Now, umihavel Michal bani. Understand, if you say that Egla is Michal, Egla has a son, Yisra'am. So, did Michal have any children? But the verse says, L'michal basha Elohei Elov Ladad Yomosa. Right? There's a famous story that David brings up, the Aron HaKodesh, to Yerushalayim, and he starts dancing wildly in front of it, and Michal criticizes him. She says, it's not right for a king to act like this. And David says, no, I would be willing to be more humiliated to give Hashem honor. Maybe that's why I'm king and your father's not. And then the Navi says, Michal never had a child. So I'm Rav Chizra said, maybe the way to read it is like this, Ad Yomosa, lo hayalab. Till the day of her death, she didn't have a child, but the Yomosa hayalab. But the day of her death, she did have a child. So I said, 1 second, it doesn't work. Mechti, let's take a look. Bani mechi kachashav luhu b'chevron. Where is there the list of these 6 sons and the 6 wives when David is living in Chevron? Ilu maisa de Michal b'Yerushalayim. The whole story with Michal, where she criticizes David, occurs later. When they are in Yerushalayim, the Sefer Michal Bashal Nishkafa Barachalon, Michal Bashal looks out of the window when David's bringing the Aron HaKodesh up to Yerushalayim. But here is David, as HaMelech David Mefazez Mechaker Lefnei Hashem. But Tivez, she saw David, you know, dancing wildly in front of Hashem, and it was disgraceful in her eyes. Vam Rav Yehuda Vitem Rav Yosef, Shaklusa Michal Lemitrafsa. Michal took her punishment. She got her punishment because David was lowly in her eyes. Now this is a child born in Hebron. So you can't say that child was born the day Michal died, because later she has no children. And she's alive when they're in Yerushalayim. Elayim must have to say like this. Ad oso maisa hayala. She had children before the story of Yerushalayim. Mekan ve'elach lo hayala. But only after this story of being upset at David, she no longer had children. So Gemara now asks another question. But it says, "Vayikach David od pilag shem v'nashim b'Yerushalayim." David married more concubines and wives when he was in Jerusalem. So why do you say it's only six? So the Gemara says, those wives were to fill in to the 18. As we said, there were like these and like these. Another six and another six. My nashim and my pilachim. What's the difference between a wife of a king and a concubine of a king? I'm reviewed a rav nashim b'ksuba. A wife gets a ksuba where the king promises that after his death or the divorce, she'll get money. B'kidushin. Pilachim below ksuba below kidushin. Pilachim, a concubine, there's no ksuba and there's no kidushin. It's a special privilege of a king.
No need.
It's a privilege of a king to have a partner.
That's specific to a king?
That, according to the Rambam, it's specific to a king. You know, a couple of years ago, this is a while ago, there's a certain newspaper in New York that always tries to have like crazy stories. So they discovered that some guy in Brooklyn wanted to encourage people to have pilachim, to have concubines.
I remember that.
You remember the story? He claimed that Rav Yaakov Emden committed concubines. So it was a whole scandal. But according to the Rambam, it only applies to a king. Only a king can have a concubine.
And there's Rambam a discussion doesn't have about whether it constitutes marriage without a ketubah or not, I think.
Yes. I'm understanding wrong.
They are together. They're partners. They are together. I'm Rav Yudah, my Rav. Rav Yudah said the name of Rav. Arba Meos Yeladim Ayelol David. David had 400 sons. That goes to Baruch's point about David's strength. 400 children.
Baruch.
It's quite an achievement.
Yeah, Baruch.
Baruch. Baruch paid the rent.
V'kulan b'nei yafas toar hayu. They were all children of non-Jewish women that he had captured in war. Umagadle bloris hayu. They grew hair like the non-Jews. The kulan yoshim v'krono shelzav. They used to sit in golden wagons. Umalchem brashik ayasos. And they used to be in charge of, you know, large armies. Vehema yubali agrofen shel beis David. They were the muscle men of David's kingdom. Amram v'yudam arav v'yudas ha'nim arav. Tamar bat yifas tar haisa. David's daughter Tamar was the daughter of a captured military bride. Shenamar, as it says, Tamar tells the older son Amnon, who raped her, Vata daberna elamelech kilo imnani milcha. Speak to the king, he's going to let me marry you. Isaga daitach bas nisuin avayiv. She was a daughter of a marriage. And say, Achte mi avasharle. Would David have ever allowed Tamar to be with Amnon? It would be a brother with a sister. So it must be she was the daughter of Yifas Toar. And that's why she, who was the daughter of a non-Jewish woman, was not considered the sister of Tamar. It must be that she had been, you know, impregnated before the conversion, and therefore she's considered not related to Amnon. So now going through the story of Amnon and Tamar. We all know this is such a miserable story.
Does Urias stonify if you have a sibling who was born before conversion?
It's not a sibling.
It's a new person.
It's not a sibling. It's a guy. Then when they convert, they become a new person. So now, the story of Amnon and Tamar is a very painful story. Amnon had an attraction to his beautiful sister Tamar, and he's upset about it, so he has a friend who advises him to feign illness, and then Tamar is going to come, because David wouldn't hold her back. He certainly doesn't want his son to get sick, and so then he'll be able to rape her, which he does, and after he rapes her, he has a hatred for her far worse than the love he had for her before. So the verse says over there, Amnon Rea, Amnon has a friend, Ushmoya Nadav ben Shema Achi David. His son is Yonadan, son of Shema, the brother of David. Yonadav was a wise person, Ishchacham. Amar Yudam Arav, Ishchacham L'Risha. He was a very wickedly wise person. Vayomer Yonadav advises Amnon, Matu Atakachadal, why do you look so terrible? Ben Amelech, the son of the king. So Amnon says, well, I love Tamar. Vayomer Yonadav, so Yonadav tells him, Shchav el Mishkavcha v'heschal. You know, lie down on your bed, pretend to be sick, and then Vasta Leinea Sabri Vasta le'enai es habirya, and she's going to make, you know, this little pancake in front of you. Vatikach hamashreis, and so Tamar is brought in. She makes the pancake. She takes the frying pan. Vatitzok lefanav, she prepares the food in front of Amon. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, she'asta lo minei tigon, she made different fried things. Thank you. And then Amnon rapes her. After he rapes her, vayisna'eh, Amnon sinna gedola ma'od, Amnon hates her with a tremendous hatred. So my timer, why does he hate her so much? Amar Rav Yitzchak, nima nikshralo, one of Tamar's hairs tied onto Amnon's organ, vasato krut shafcha, and in the act of intercourse, she uprooted his organ. Like there was that I remember there was like Bruce Bobbitt or something. What was it? So that's like a zaymaisa, like a story like that. So the Gemara says, "V'chi nitshura lo ihi mayata." Right? If it happened on its own, what did she do wrong that he's angry at her? El Amos, you have to change it. Kashalonima, she tied it. V'asato krut shivcha, and she pulled off his thing.
She was a good mohel.
She was strong. So the Gemara says, how could this be? Ani, didn't Rava say? What's the meaning of the verse? Lo shame and a reputation will go out amongst the nations about your beauty. Jewish women don't have hair under the armpit or in that place. Apparently, everybody asks, our women do. So they say, during the times of the first Beis HaMikdash, Jewish women didn't have this. Until we lost the Beis HaMikdash. But initially, the Jewish women didn't have it. So Tamar, how does she even have such hair? So Shani Tamar, the Basifas Torah Havai. Well, Tamar was different. She was the daughter of a non-Jewish captured bride. Okay, so Amnon hates Tamar terribly. Vatikach Tamar Efer al Rosha. Tamar puts dust on her, ashes on her head, and she tears Maksonas Hapasim Asher Aleh on the, you know, multicolored shirt on her. Karashi tore. Tana Mishmeid Reb Yeshua ben Karcha. We learned in the name of Reb Yeshua ben Karcha in the Braisa. Geder Gadol Gadra Tamar Ba'osa Shah. When Tamar was screaming in protest, she caused a tremendously important fence. Amru, because after what happened, they said like this: if nos malachim kach, if this can happen to the daughter of a king, if nos head yotos alachas kama v'kama, certainly this could happen to the daughter of a regular person. In litznuos kach, if this could happen to a modest woman like Tamar, leprutzas alachas kama v'kama, certainly it could happen to a very, flamboyant and promiscuous woman. And therefore, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Bo Sasha, that was when the moment that Gazu, they made the decree, Allah Yichud, that a man is not allowed to be alone with a woman, and not just alone with any woman, even not just an erva, and even Al Hapnuya, even it can't be alone with a single woman, like Tamar, who was single.
So connected, because
yeah, I don't know what the connection is to Yosef. Maybe the opposite. Yosef was careful with Tznios, and here they're not. I don't know. So the Gemara now asks, one second, it's a Gzeira, Yichud, Doraisu. It's a biblical law not to be alone with an Erva. Where do we have a hint to Yichud from the Torah? Shneamar, as the Pasuk says, Ki Yisitzcha, when he will seduce you. Achicha ben imecha, your brother who's the son of your mother. One second. Achi ben emesis ben av. Enomesis, is it only the son of a mother who might seduce you to worship idols, not the son of a father? Elolom alocha, but it's to tell you the following. Ben misyachrim imo, a son can be alone with his mother. Ben acher misyachrim kol arayas sheba Torah, but nobody else could be alone with any of the arayas in the Torah. Elim, so what do we have to say? Gazru al yichud pnuya. They made a decree at this moment, Yichud with an Erva, that's already biblical. But that Yichud with a single woman, that comes from the story of Tamar. Okay, talking further about the sons of David. We know at the end of David's lifetime, David had a son, Adoniyah, who made himself king. He had to be put down. Adoniyah ben Chagis misnasei leimor. Adoniyah ben Chagis was raising himself up, saying, "Ani am loch, I'm going to rule." I'm Rav Yudah Mar Rav. Rav Yudah said, "Name of Rav." Allow me this teacher to you. Shebikesh loholmo. He tried to put on the crown, the lohol masa, but the crown couldn't fit on him because apparently the crown of the king had a bar on the bottom, and the king's skull had an indentation in it. So if you were born with such a skull and the crown could fit on you, that was a sign from God that you were the king. But if your skull was round and you couldn't have the bar, then it was a sign that you weren't the king. Vayas lo, and they made for him rechev farashim, a chariot and horsemen, v'chamishim ish ratzum lefanav, and 50 men running in front of him. My rebusa, what do you mean 50 men? I can have lots of people running in front of him. I'm Rav Yudah Marav, Rav Yudah said, Marav kula netu etchol. These people were to show their loyalty to Adoniyah. They removed their spleens surgically. V'chakuke kapos raglayim hayu. And they scraped out the inside of the arch of their feet to enable them to run faster and not feel the pain when they go over thorns.
Flat-footed.
They were
Connecticut.
No, we didn't know that. No, a Jewish king would wear a crown. We never learned that he doesn't wear a crown. No, we didn't learn that. Next Mishnah, talking more about the king. Lo yar below susim, he can't have too many horses. How many is too many? He can only have enough for his chariot. Then the pasuk says, "V'kesef is lehav lo yar below ma'od." He can't have too much gold and silver. Elok de'elitin aspani, just can have enough to pay the soldiers their yearly wage. The kosev lo sefer Torah l'shmo, he has to write his own sefer Torah, and with that sefer Torah, yotzel malcham motziyaima. When he goes out to war, he carries his sefer Torah with him. Nichnas machzir machnisaima. When he comes in from war, he brings it in with him. Yoshi b'dinima. When he sits in judgment, he has his Torah with him. Mesa, when he clients to eat, he kinegdo, it's opposite him. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, Vaisimo, it'll be with him, v'karavo, kol yimei chayav, he has to read in it all the days of his life. So whatever he's doing, he has to have a sefer Torah with him. Tana Rabban Lutin Abraisa, the pasuk says, Lo yarbalo susim, he can't have too many horses. Yachal, if you look at him, Arkavdu, Parashav. Maybe he can't even have horses for his chariot and his horsemen. Tana Lomar, that's what the pasuk says. Lo yarbalo, he can't have for him. Lo and Omar, but you can't have horses as like a hobby, you know, to go outside and look at a stable of hundreds of horses and feel good about it. That he can't have. But for the needs of pulling the chariot and his horsemen, that he can have lots of. Amani Makayim Susim. What does it mean that you can't have too many horses? Susim Abatlanim. Horses that are really sitting around doing nothing. It's just for him to enjoy seeing and owning so many horses. I don't know, even a single horse for leisure, just to admire having it, he's not allowed to have. That's what the pasuk says. Leman harbosus, right? We don't want him to send the people back to Egypt to have too many horse. Horse there is in the singular tense. Now, so susim lamali. So once even one horse sitting around doing nothing is a prohibition. Why does the Torah say horses? That's to say, laver below sasel kol sus v'sus. Every added horse is another prohibition. So the Gemara now says, Taima, why is the king allowed to buy horses for his chariot? Is the kasa rachmana low? He can't increase horses for himself. Halavach, if it's not for himself and his own pleasure, he can. But apparently without the word low, havamina filu, derichbo farash of namilo, but I think that he can't have horses for his chariot. And what type of a king doesn't have a horse? Would have thought that he couldn't have lots of horses for the chariots. I would think he'd have to have minimal horses for the chariot. That's why the word lo is added, that he's allowed to have even lots of horses for the chariots. But for his own pleasure and edification and enjoyment, he can't have even one extra horse.
Are his horses like a historical thing? Is that why it's included with wives and money?
The Torah says because the horses are coming from Egypt and Hashem doesn't want the Jews to go back to Egypt. And if the king is going to have lots of horses, he's going to be sending people back to Egypt to buy the horses. V'kesef is a havlo yar below. We can't have lots of silver and gold. Look at elite in Espana, only to pay the army. Tana Rabbanan Lutin Abraisa. V'kesef is a havlo yar below. He can't have a lot of silver and gold for him. Yachal afilu k'dit elite in Espana. Maybe even he can't have a lot of gold and silver to pay the soldiers. Tamlom, that's the pasuk says, low for him. Lo ein omar, he can't have lots of gold and silver for himself. Aval marbu k'delitin aspanim. But you can have a lot to give to the soldiers. Time at the cost of Rachmana lo. It says we can't have for him. Alavach, but if not for the word for him, havamin afilu k'delitin aspanim. Ami lo, we can't even give, can't even have for the soldiers. And how's he going to pay for an army? I mean, a soldier, a king needs an army. Lotzricha again. The pasuk would have, I would have thought the pasuk means that. So the answer to the Gemara, lo tzricha laharvacha. The point is that he's allowed to collect taxes and have lots of gold and silver if he wants to increase the army. If I wouldn't have the word lo, I would have thought he can only have enough gold and silver for his current army. Hashdamrit lo l'drasha. So now that you say that the word lo is a drasha, both in terms of horses and in terms of money, so lo yar below nashim ay derashi base. So what do you do with the wives? He shouldn't have. He shouldn't increase for himself lots of wives. The meute hadyotos. That's to say that he's the one who can't have lots of wives, but a non-king can have as many wives as he wants. Rabbi Yehuda Rami Rabbi Yehuda asks the contradiction. One pasuk says k'sev. It says vayihil shlomar baim elef urvos susim lemer kavto. Shlomar Melech had 40,000. Stables of horses for his chariots. Ksev, then you have another pasuk that says, "Vayihi Shlomar bas alafim urvo susim." Shlomo HaMelech had not 40,000, but 4,000 stables. Okay, so how do you resolve the contradiction? So the Gemara answers: one pasuk is talking about houses that had lots of stalls in them, and the other pasuk is talking about all the stalls. So if there were 40,000 houses, kalechad v'echad hayubo arbas alafim urvo susim, each one had 4,000 stalls. V'im arbas alafim itztablos hayu, and if there were 4,000 houses, kalechad v'echad hayubo arbaim elef urvo susim, each one of the houses had 40,000 stalls. Rav Yitzchak Rami, Rav Yitzchak asked another contradiction. It says, "Ein kesef nechshav bimei Shlomo l'meuma." Silver wasn't worth anything in the days of Shlomo because there was so much wealth. Uksiv, on the other hand, the pasuk says, "Ve'itin Shlomo Hamelech hazakesef Yerushalayim ka'avanim." Shlomo Hamelech scattered out the gold and the silver, the wealth in Yerushalayim like stones. It was worth something. It was stones, not worth a lot, but worth stones. Lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Kan kodem shnas Shlomo as Basparo, before he married Basparo, money was worthless because there was so much wealth. But after Shlomo married Basparo, again, things started to go downhill for him then. And then the money was worth like stones. Still not worth so much, but at least like stones. When Shlomo HaMelech married the daughter of Paro, it was a terrible thing. Yared Gavriel, the angel Gavriel, went down from the heaven, and he put a reed into the sea. He brought some, you know, refuse, dirt, sand over it, and based on that, the big city of Rome was built on that spot. So, in other words, when Shlomo's marrying Basparo, that's the beginning of the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash. She apparently wasn't so righteous. Why didn't Hashem reveal the reasons for mitzvos? Because there were two verses where Hashem does reveal the reasons. And Nichshol ben Gedola Olam, and Shlomo HaMelech, the greatest man, failed because he knew the reasons. Siv lo yar b'lo nashim, the Torah says he shouldn't have too many wives because they might make his heart stray. Amar Shlomo, so Shlomo said, Ani, I'm very strong, so therefore Ani Arba, I can have many wives. V'lo Asra, I will not stray. Siv, what does the Pasuk then say? V'hi le'isik na Shlomo, at the time of Shlomo's old age, nashav yitu es levavo, his wives moved his heart astray. Uksiv, the Pasuk says, lo yar b'lo susim, you shouldn't have too many horses. Amar Shlomo, and again, Shlomo said, "Ani arbev lo ashiv. I'm going to have lots of horses, and I won't bring people back to Egypt." And it says, "Vateitzim erkava mimitzrayim b'sheish meos kesef." And a chariot came out of Egypt for 600 silvers that he sent people to Egypt to get his chariot. Okay, we learned in the Mishnah, "Kosev sefer Torah lishmo." The king has to write a sefer Torah. Tani we learned in a brayso, "Bavad shelo yisnaya b'shalavosav." The king should not use the Sefer Torah of his fathers. He has to write his own Sefer Torah. Amar Rabba, Rabba explained, Afapi sheinichalo avos of la'adam Sefer Torah, even if his fathers leave to a person a Sefer Torah, Mitzvah lichtov mishalo. He has a mitzvah to write his own Sefer Torah. Now, as the pasuk says, va'ata, now kisvu lachem es hashira azos. Now write this song, write the Torah. Eis ve'abaye, Abaye challenged this. We learned in a brisa, v'kosev lo Sefer Torah lishmo. He writes his own Sefer Torah. The king, shalo yisna b'shalachem. He shouldn't use that of his father's. Melech, ein. A king has to write his own Sefer Torah. Hadjot lo, but an individual doesn't have to write his own Sefer Torah. He can use what he gets, what he inherits from his father. So why says lo tzricha l'shtei Torahs? The king has to write two Sefer Torah, both himself. Kedatan is learned in a brisa. V'kosev lo es mishne ha-Torah azos. Mishneh means kosev l'shmo shtei Torahs. It's in the word shnayim. He has to write two Sefer Torahs. Achashu yotzis v'nichnesis ima, one that he always has with him. V'achashu m'nachas lo b'veis kunazav, and one that he has in his inner chambers. Oh, so shiyotzis v'nichnesis ima, the one that always carries with him. It's like an amulet. But he doesn't walk in with it to the bathhouse or to a lavatory. The karavot will be with him, and he'll read in it. He has it with him in the places where he's allowed to read from it. But both of these Sifrei Torah he has to write. He can't use that which he inherited from his fathers. Marzutra said, some say Marukva said, originally at Har Sinai, nit the Torah Yisrael b'ksav ivri. The Torah was given to the Jewish people in the Ivri letters, the Lashon HaKodesh, and in Hebrew, in Lashon HaKodesh. Chaz of Nitlan Bimei Ezra B'Ksav Ashuris, in the days of Ezra, was re-given, and that's why now we have it in the Ashuri Ksav, the Lashon Arami, and in Aramaic. Bar Lenli Yisrael Ksav Ashuri, the Lashon HaKodesh. The Jewish people chose Ashuri and Lashon HaKodesh, V'Nichol Adyotos, and they left for secular matters, Ksav Ivris, the Lashon Arami, Ivris writing, and the Aramaic language. Man Hedyotos, who are the simple people, Amr of Chizda Kutai, the Samaritans use Ksav Ivri. My Ksav Ivris, what is the nature of Ksav Ivri? Amr of Chizda Ksav Libuna, the letters of that they write for amulets. All right, so right up to
the king had to be a sofer?
Yes, the king had to be a sofer. One second, let's just say Kaddish Rabbanim. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha, may Ratzon Kaddish Baruch Hu l'zakos es Yisrael, l'fich achir b'lem Torah, mitzvah shenemar. Wait, let's say this a second. Oh yeah, what's the question then?